Hello and welcome to Hope Chapel Huntington Beach's Sunday Celebration Service, given by our special speakers, Pastors Sandy and Don Godwin. This message was recorded on March 13th, 2016, and is entitled, Your Brother is Calling.
Thank you, friends. Thank you. Once again, welcome to Hope Chapel. You are in the chapel. This is an amazing environment. Thank you for setting it that way. My name's Paul Harmon, and I'm the pastor here. We're glad that you're here. We have the most amazing missionaries here. They're going to be coming up on stage in just a few moments. That is Don and Sandy Godwin, our missionaries from Mexico. Friends, would you join with me as we welcome back our missionary, is our pastors Don and Sandy Godwin. Welcome back, friends. We just love you. Don, get on up here. Well, Don and Sandy, I wanted to hand a microphone because, Don, you have the message you want to preach. But it is helpful for Hope Chapel and our guests who are here to be aware of your history here at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. And many times we've been talking about you and saying, don't forget to send your support to Don and Sandy or present it to Hope Chapel. But you really are, with great pride, we're so thrilled, you are part of us. And for really, when Ainsley and I came to Huntington Beach here, we started to become better acquainted. We realized this couple, Don and Sandy, and their children, three daughters you had, really very, very small. Now they're out saving the world. It's amazing. Great story in itself. But we had the joy of just seeing your ministry flourish here at Hope Chapel. As mini church shepherds, one of the strongest mini churches we had, we just continued to flourish, and we tried to just divide and send off even people that do other mini church from your group. You served on our church council with distinction, Don. You are one of our worship leaders, fine worship leader, just amazing. Part of our, at times, our sunrise service leading. You both helped with our family life ministry with such strategic leadership skills and just what it is to teach families how to kind of do better than we currently would on our own. We're thrilled, yeah. But Sandy, maybe you can kind of share a little bit some of that journey while you were here and just what it was like and just feeling that stir of getting going and saying, you know what, we can do ministry.
It's good to be home and see all of our family and new family. And those of you who have been down to Mexico, it's good to see you again. And wanted to just say, this church has been so instrumental in the work that we do in Mexico. And when we first came to this church, we were really a broken couple. We really were hurting. And we went and met Pastor Paul and Ainsley and told our whole sordid and sad story of we'd been in ministry, kind of burned out, and we really didn't know what to do with our lives. And Pastor asked that one important question of what's next. And we had been in such a place that we couldn't even think ahead. We couldn't even think about what was next because we were kind of wallowing in our stuff. But I'm so thankful for our pastors who remain my pastors, our pastors, that were vision pastors. They were like, look ahead. What did God call you to do? What did God tell you his plans were for your life? And we hadn't even thought that far ahead. And then through the years, Pastor and Ainsley, we submitted ourselves to them. We said, we're yours. You're our pastors. We'll do what you ask us to do. We want to serve. We want to be healed in this church. We were. We want to be directed by our pastors, which we were. So thankful for that. And so thankful for the opportunity, even after being broken and then restored, to have a place to serve. So once we got to that place of leading many churches and helping out in the church and just really submitting to our pastors saying, what do you want us to do next? And we got to the place of being ready to be launched.
Part of your footage that you presented to us, you have a tremendous ministry going on with people that have been deported back to Mexico. What stories each of them hold. And who but God himself would know that as his very nature is to restore, bring people back to the design that he had on the day he really said, I'm going to conceive you. And what a great thing that's happened in your own life. But Now we're seeing, it's easy to look back and say, wow, that's what the Lord was doing. Now the Lord's using you to restore other shattered lives. That, and what a great name for a church, Hope Chapel. Hello. Yeah. Maybe tell a little bit how the Lord has just brought you in these last wonderful, long-term years. You've touched so many lives. And I want to just say, you've planted churches, you've released people. It's not just about shelter and helping in a social environment. These people feel confident once again. They're out pastoring. One of those couples that you released are now sector leaders. They were deported, really. Yes. And now they're strong pastor in their own church and raised up within the Foursquare movement. And really, to some extent, we could say are your bosses. Isn't that true?
Yep. They are.
You were their pastor. Hello. Wow. Isn't that
good
something?
Thing we learned to submit early. Huh?
So I just want to say that, but how is it now with regards to just you're seeing God's hand? Not, you're healed, you're healthy, and you're healing and bringing health to others.
Well, when we were applying to be missionaries, they have this big packet you fill out. It's a big deal. And they want to make sure they're not sending people out that aren't prepared, although I don't know if you're ever really prepared. And it said, what is your message? And they left like a page and a half for you to fill it out, but we didn't know how to fill it all in. And the Lord revealed to Dawn one day, freely you've received, freely you give. And that really is our message. We work with deported families, and I don't know about you, but when I lived in Orange County, I didn't even know anyone ever got deported. I really did not. And 1,000 people a day get deported just into Mexico. 350 at our border, others at other borders, some into Mexico City. 350 a day come to our border with no place to live, no food, no job, no family, no anything. Many of these people are not what you would consider deportable. They look like you and me. They have jobs. They've held jobs. They just did never get their paperwork in order. Now, before you guys start saying things, we love the United States. We appreciate the laws here. We love the laws. I'm a rule keeper. So we understand when the government says you got to go there. But what we want to tell people when they do come is there is a place for you and a purpose for you and a reason why God's brought you here. And Jeremiah 29:11 that says God's going to prosper you and give you a future and a hope is still true for them in Mexico. So our church provides community. Our church takes those families who were raised here in the United States. Many of them didn't even know they were illegals because their parents never told them. They look like you and me. They speak like you and me. They've been educated like you and me. Their children have been raised here. And now all of a sudden, instead of making their wages here, they're now in Mexico and they're making about $10 a day, not an hour, a day, trying to raise a family. So our church provides help for them. We help them find jobs. We help them find community in the church. We help them find places to live. If they need assistance with rehabilitation, we put them in the rehab center, which is excellent for 9 months. We provide English-speaking community so that wives and children feel comfortable. And when I say we do that, I mean we. We do that. Because by you sending us, you pray, you send, you go. Every person that's put in a toilet in our church or a tile or a wall or anything, all of you are shaking your heads because you've been there. You are the ones that are helping to restore and renew lives so that they can become prosperous in the place that God sent them. So thank you.
Awesome. Sandy, isn't that amazing what the Lord is doing? And I'll tell you, fantastic. Well, Don and Sandy, thank you. We want to hear what the Lord's put upon your heart to share with us as well. So why don't we go ahead, ladies? We're going to transition. And Don, welcome you to the platform.
Thank you, Pastor. We are glad as we think back on these years that Jeremiah 29:11 doesn't say, for I know the plans I had for you. Oh, but Don, you messed it up. I sure had some good stuff. And in Pastor's encouragement to us those years ago, and we said, man, I just met some of you guys, and we were hanging around here wondering, you know, why we didn't get the license number of a truck that ran over us. Some of it we did to ourselves, but we wound up broken, people. And yeah, Pastor listened to us for about an hour one Sunday, just not on a Sunday, but one day sitting in his office, and we poured our heart out. And after about an hour of that, he said, "So what's next?" Sandy said, and we kind of thought, "Well, what do you mean, what's next? This is it. We sit here, and we die here." And that was in my mind. That really was. And part of it was anger at what had happened. Part of it was hurt at what had happened. Anger at myself. Anger at others. But see, you can sit there if you want. Or you can say, "No, God still has a plan for me. He still has a place for me to be." And the lesson for us was powerful because what was spoken to us then was, you know, if you quit, then that's it, right? You're done. No, that's not it. If we had quit, and if we had said no to God's plan for us, because Jeremiah 29:11 is still in your Bible and is still in mine, if we had said no to that, then look at what wouldn't have been accomplished. I'm not saying that to draw attention to me and Sandy. And that's not it at all. We're saying we want to draw attention to God. And He continued to reinforce that plan. You know something? The calling God's put on your heart, the words that have been spoken on you, have never been taken back. He's never said, "I wish I hadn't have said that." That's just not something that comes out of God's mouth. He says something, and that's it. Now it's up to you and me. And we know that God calls us not from our past. He calls us from our future. He's looking at you, and he's saying, "What's next?" What Pastor Paul said to us, "Now what?" And the next answer out of your mouth better be carefully thought out. Think before you speak. Because why God's asking you that, "What's next?" is because he's like this, looking at you. Did you get that? He loves you like crazy. And he's standing in front of you saying, "Come on, let's get out of the muck and the mire, and let me put your feet on a rock," like the psalmist said. Let me get your arms ready to shoot a bow and arrow again. I got stuff for you to do." And then when we say yes, dude, it's all over now for the enemy. It's just beginning for us. Amen? Calls you from your future. The only reason God has you look in the past is to thank him for what he's done for you. And to look, "Oh man, that little column of 12 stones I put there, God helped me cross that river when it was in flood season, and he backed all the waters up." And how many of you would say God's done that for you? He's helped you. See, that same God, what's your best guarantee that God's going to bless you in the future? That he's done it before, and he doesn't change. So if he's blessed you before, then don't get down about the future. He's got it. All you got to do is have one word in your heart. The word is yes. I want to share just a few things that the Lord has put in my heart, and I believe he wants me to share this today with you. We'll go ahead and read this passage. It's in 2 Timothy chapter 4. It starts at verse 9, and I'm reading from the NIV 84, but here's what it says. And it's a lot of words, so we're going to just run through this, and I want to just comment on it for a few minutes. And before I do, I want to say hello to Nancy Bullenwider. This dear lady sitting four rows back has known me and Sandy for something over 30 years now. Comes from our congregation back in Torrance, California, Calvary Church of the Coastlands, where I was, get this, a choir director. Yes, I was. I was that guy. And Nancy has just been one of our most faithful friends. And we're going to get to Philippians 1 in a minute. And I'm talking about her as much as anybody when we get there. Thank you, Nancy. your friendship these years. What a sweet friend you've been. I could go around the room now and say that. If we had all day, I just love you, and Sandy and I love you guys so much. So many of you have been just super, super sweet friends to us. I'm gonna call this a tough letter from Paul. Here we go. 2 Timothy 4, verse 9. Writing to Timothy says, "Do your best to come to me quickly, for Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia. Titus to Dalmatia." That's where they filmed 101 Dalmatians, right there. "Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, because he is helpful to me in my ministry. I sent Tychicus to Ephesus. When you come, bring me the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas and my scrolls, especially the parchments. Alexander, the metalworker, did me a great deal of harm. The Lord will repay him for what he has done. You too should be on your guard against him, because he strongly opposed our message. At my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them." And this stands really as the heart of this passage. Verse 17, "But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength." Woo! "So that through me, the message might be fully proclaimed." Why does God give us strength? Why does he help us through hard times? Because he wants that message, as Pastor Paul said before. He wants that message to go out. "So that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever." And then this might in your Bible say, final greetings. Verse 19, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus," don't know if I'm saying these right, "Erastus stayed in Corinth and I left Trophimus sick in Miletus. Do your best to get here before winter. Eubulus greets you, and so do Pudens, Linus, Claudia, and all the brothers. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you." Here, almost like on his deathbed, so to speak, because he knows he's nearing the end of his earthly race, Paul is being super honest. When you know it's come down to the wire, what do? You don't tell jokes. You say things that are important. And so that's why these words carry just an extra measure of weight. And if I look at this, honestly, if it were left up to me, if I'd have been in the Council of Trent, you know, I would have probably said, yeah, this was just a letter to some buddies. We don't need this in the Bible, right? Because he had all the really cool stuff before that. And here, it's like he already said, "I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I'm headed to heaven. Praise God. Amen." End of 2 Timothy. But he's got all this stuff that follows, and now you and I have it to read. It's in our Bible, right? It's there. We have a bunch of names. "I sent Tychicus, bring Mark to me. Carpus has my coat. Alexander hurt me." Ask myself, why is that there? Who cares? "Alexander hurt me," he says. Bad. He says, "Greet Priscilla, Aquila, the household of Onesiphorus. Remember," he tells this guy, "remember these people. Pudens, Eubulus, Linus, Claudia, Erastus, pray for Trophimus." Because why? Do we have 18 names in the last verses of 2 Timothy? Counting Timothy, there's 18 names here. And the answer is the same one to the question, why did we go to Mexico when we were perfectly happy here? Why do any missionaries go anywhere? Why do we get up in the morning and do the things God's called us to do, wherever it might be? And it's the same answer here. Why all these names? Because to God, it's all about people. All about people. He doesn't care about so much about buildings, programs, or things we do unless it serves the goal of reaching people. That's the whole point. Because it's all about people to God, it's all about loyalty to those people. Fulfilling his call on our life is always about being with people, reaching out to people. Crescens and Demas and Titus took off. How would you like to have your name in the Bible for leaving? Don left me. Oh, you take that out, Paul. I'll give you $100 right now. I'll give you anything you want. Don't put my name in the. But there they are. These guys left me. Luke stayed with me. Verse 16, no one came to my support. If they'd have known he was the Apostle Paul, oh man, they'd have fixed that. They'd have said, no way, you can offer me $1,000. I'm not going anywhere with you. I'm staying here with Paul. Paul, you got plenty of ink? Because you don't want you to write my name. You know, good. Brought you the goodie bag. Like Epaphroditus, mentioned only two places in Scripture, both in Philippians 2 and 4. The guy went through heartache, misery, trouble, and only did it to bring Paul something he needed. And he got wrote up for it. Boy, that went in his permanent file. You know what I'm saying? Some of you are good at that. You're in Epaphroditus. You bring the goodie bag out of the loyalty in your heart. I'm not just talking about to me and Sandy. I'm talking about to each other. Your loyalty is amazing, and that's why God has blessed this work. We feel like God's purpose for us here in Mexico and is the same as God's purpose for you here. It's brotherhood. And we believe that if the faithfulness that we saw in 2 Timothy, if that's worth cultivating in them and noting all these years later, it's worth cultivating in you and me. Its value is incalculable. We believe that God showed us that what hurts his work the most isn't imperfect programs. It's not imperfect music. It's not imperfect preaching. It's not a lack of talent in the rank and file. The rank and file here has got plenty of talent. But if God's work suffers, it's not for lack of any of those things. It's because of desertion. That's what hurts the work of the Lord. Wherever you go, you'll find that to be the case, that desertion hurts his work. Like Alexander hurt Paul, desertion hurts. Like Demas leaving hurt, that hurts today, right now. And I want to just offer a few thoughts before we go about loyalty. I found a video on YouTube some time ago, a couple of years ago, and this video amazed me. There was a little girl named Stephanie a few years back whose dad was an astronaut in the space station. So he's way up there, she's way down here. And I want to say it was his birthday or something like that coming up. So she thought, man, how in the world can I tell dad I love him? So she wrote a note. She just wrote a little on a piece of paper, a heart, and inside it she wrote Steph, and then the heart. And then she put you, the letter U. Steph loves you. And how am I going to get this to him? You can't just mail a letter to the space shuttle, right? So, you know, car people are always looking for a way to let you and me know that we should own their cars, right? So Hyundai got wind of this, and they rented a huge lake bed out somewhere in Las Vegas, and they put 11 of their Hyundai Genesis cars together. Those are sweet, right? So 11 of these were controlled by computer programs that were written by these guys, and they had drivers, but they were being told every micro movement. And if you watch the video, you'll see these 11 cars carving out a giant replica, 1.5 times bigger than Central Park, of her little message. And as big as you can imagine is that thing on that dry lake bed in Nevada. And it's got the big heart, Steph, and when you look at it, it looks exactly like what she wrote. Loves you. And so dad's birthday came around and he's going up. Search this out yourself on YouTube. You'll see I'm not making it up. Dad's going over that spot in the space shuttle. They're like, look down. And he looks down and through his window, he can see that thing just real clear. Steph loves you. Thought about that, and it just hit me, guys, that our love for God is proven here. How much we love one another, how much, you know, we're not saved by works. We know that, right? Nothing we do can get us saved, but we are saved to works. And God calls us and says, now I got this whole thing I want you to do. And if you love me, you'll do it. It's not just about missions. It's about faithfulness right where I live, right with my own family, right with my own friends. You see, because vertical loyalty is proven horizontally. It took a lot of guys, a couple hundred technicians, a bunch of drivers, all kinds of guys carrying water, everything. For days they worked and worked and worked on this, but all it was for was to send one message to the dad. Hey, love you. God knows we love him when we say it right here. 1 John 4:20, if anybody says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he's a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. Second, loyalty requires our best. 2 Timothy 4:9, do your best to come quickly. Verse 21, do your best to get here before. It's going to require the best you got. This is no kind of, well, you know, maybe. No, it's like, you got to do it. Guys, get up and come to the men's meeting. Do that. Why? Because you need it, yes, but it's also because your brother needs you. He needs you to be there. Where are you? Do your best. In Mexico, we're always talking rebuilding. We say God can make you over better than you were before. He did that for us. We didn't even believe it, but we stuck around, and God really did come through for us because it's not just about us. Third, loyalty's in the details. The little things, right? Paul says to Timothy, bring my coat. I left it with old Carpus, you know him, and bring a scroll, especially the parchment, my good pen, and then bring a spare, right? Because I need all that stuff. Let me tell you something we've learned and continue to learn. If you're not in the details of it, you're not in it. And we can talk about it pie in the sky, and we can be those people who say, oh, I'm good at plans, but I like other people to do it. You know what? You need to get in. Somewhere you got to get in. You got to touch the stuff and deal with it. You got to do it. I love nails in his hands. I've got pictures from nails in his hands or two that we were able to be a part of even right here on this building. Nothing like God's people getting together and saying, we're going to do this. We're going to be involved. We're going to get in the details. We're going to go get the coat, the pen, this, that, the other. And fourth and finally, guys, loyalty is time sensitive. He says, do your best to come to me quickly. Do your best to come before winter. We could say this morning, couldn't we, that delayed obedience is disobedience. We think it's not. We think a delayed obedience is just us saying, well, the Lord's bringing me along. Well, the Lord may have already asked you. Maybe the Lord maybe already told you. But now we want to just sit and say, well, that's disobedience. Happy we have Jeremiah here today. He's, I think, probably the tallest guy in church, or close to it. And Jeremiah's coming down. He's going to be our intern for, I think, 10 weeks this summer, still raising his support. Well, what is he doing? He's doing what God's put on his heart to do. I know it's burning in his heart. Nothing else would make us want to go hang out with the Godwins, right? But no, here he comes. We're excited. Your bedroom's ready, buddy. Philippians 1:3 says, I thank my God every time I remember you. Here's what I was talking about, Nancy. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day till now. When we look at our friends at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach, now I'm talking about the missions chunk again, but we can say this is from the beginning. This is not our work there. It's your work, the Lord's work, but it's all of us together that the Lord's used to accomplish this. Certainly not us, even our kids, though we've all worked hard. You guys are absolutely a part of it. And I look at all the things in that three verses I just read that are time sensitive. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always, not sometimes, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day till now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on, that's time sensitive, to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And it occurred to me, guys, completion, we love that verse 6, right? You guys could all, if we put a little organ music back there, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. And we'd make a doily and put it on our bathroom wall, right there. Or the living room or something. They don't usually put the verse ahead of it. Because of your partnership from the first day till now, completion has a price tag, church. And the price tag is faithfulness. You want God to finish his work in you? Be faithful in what he's called you to do. He's called you to do something. And he didn't suck you out of that pit so you could sit and look gorgeous, which you do. You'd be excused if you wanted to do that, but God says, no, I've got other people I need you to be loyal to. I need you to make that drawing on a desert floor, so to speak. Get together, work together. It's pretty cool to see those 11 cars just kind of, they don't even budge apart from each other. Me, and that's like Tijuana traffic, only they're going like this, you know. Because what we need is in our family, Ephesians 4:11, it was he, not something even Pastor Paul thought up. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers. Why? To prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there. See, people who don't take advantage of the gifts in the body of Christ are guaranteed to spend the rest of their life being thrown back and forth by every wind of doctrine that comes along. Every stupid idea, you're victim to it because you haven't taken full advantage. You haven't embraced what God has given in the body of Christ. The body of Christ is where you learn what you're supposed to do, how you're supposed to do it, who you're supposed to do it with, when you're supposed to do it. Everything comes when you get parked in the body of Christ and begin to embrace the gifts that he's put here for you. That was extra. We're not charging any more for that. I didn't say that to the first service. As I finish here, verse 15, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who's the head, that is the Christ. Love verse 16. Who keeps this together? Who does this? From him, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament. Another translation says, by that which every joint supplies, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Through our loyalty to each other, we get prepared for works of service. We avoid falling prey to deceptive teaching. We grow up. Our loyalty to God is proven here. Our loyalty to God is in the details. What you do tomorrow morning, it's in those details. Our loyalty to God, folks, is time sensitive. Answer his call now. Whatever's in your life, whatever's in front of you, is because God needs you. And he needs you now. I thought of our friend George, who's one of our deported guys in our church. Years and years ago, Sandy grew up in a place called Wilmington, which some of you know Wilmington. She lovingly calls it Cholo Town. And we've got guys in our church. This is so funny. When Sandy was, how old were you? About 13 years old. A guy got shot in the street in front of her house, and she went out the front door and helped him and waited till the medics came. That boy, Sandy found out, was the leader of a local gang, bunch of Cholo guys, and they became her friend and began to help her on her daily walk to school when she was going through a tough time being bullied by some other girls. And these guys came and said, hey, you hurt her, you're going to be messed with. Don't do it. I'm telling you now. Fast forward 40 years. Sorry, honey. We're in Mexico. Yeah, 38 years. 38 years, to be fair. This is even before we knew you, Nancy. But fast forward 38 years. Here we are in Mexico, and we got this guy sitting with his very white wife, Christina, and they're sitting on the front row past all the kids, and he looked at us like this. It's known down there as the cholo look. You better watch out, Pastor. You see that look, get back. Somebody's going to take you down. You be careful. And so we've had these guys give looks to their friends in church like that a time or two that we've had to say, hey, that's not you anymore. Come on. And it took George about 2 years before he finally started to raise his hands in worship. He invited the Lord into his heart. They got married in our church. We married them. They've had 3 more kids since, for a grand total of 6 right now. And they are just the sweetest, most loving family. George has now grown in the Lord like you can't believe. He is the captain of our football team, and he leads our guys. A couple weeks ago, he's coming to me, Pastor, I'm thinking maybe we could start some American football too. Who knew, right, in Mexico? American football, sure. We call them the Raiders, yeah? Okay. Whatever you want, George. And look at the picture now. God took a young girl in Wilmington. 38 years later, he closed the loop. And she's known. And by proxy, I'm known. We are known as a couple. We love cholos, man. We'll take them. We almost call it Cholo Chapel, but you know, but we don't. We don't call it Hype Chapel or Hip Chapel. We call it Hope Chapel. And he is our blessed hope. We love you guys so much. We thank you for your friendship. And we thank you for your loyalty. Keep on doing what you're doing. Be loyal. God bless you, Pastor.
Worship team, as you come forward, I want to just remind our dear friends who are here in our bulletin, you will notice we have our weekly schedule and our mini churches that meet every night except Friday, every day.
I'm not one for that.
We have the Hanning's mini church that meets today at 1. The Godwins will not be meeting at that because of just time challenges. We've got a lot of plans with them. But we're going to go ahead, and if you don't mind, we're going to drop the house lights. I'm going to invite you to stand to your feet. We do want to encourage you. They will be coming to Anchored College Group this evening at 7. So we've got to power them up and get them back here. If you have been taking notes, would you consider coming to one of Hope Chapel here in Huntington Beach, one of our mini churches? Our mini churches are just a beautiful environment for community to happen and really for safety. Your life matters, and we really want to encourage you. Boy, what a great message to highlight the mini church ministry. And you'll find maps in the bulletin board that's outside in the foyer. Take a look at those nice smiley faces as well. Mini church shepherds, if you're here, would you come forward? We want to station those that are here to do our altar prayer, individuals as well. We welcome you to come forward. We're going to worship the Lord in this closing song. If you're needing something to have the Lord touch you with, would you consider coming forward? I want to remind you as well, we have been aware of for a couple of days, Dorothea Porter, her husband Bernie, passed away this week, went home to be with the Lord. We celebrated his homegoing. It was a sweet send-off. But at 93 years of age, he was ready. He is a devoted Christian, continues to be faithful to the Foursquare Church. April the 2nd, first Saturday of April, will be his memorial service here at 1 o'clock at the chapel. We want you to be. But remember Dorothea. We love her. I know you do too. That's the beauty of community, being able to stand together and support one another. So Let's worship the Lord just for a little bit with this song. Helps us, doesn't it? And if you're needing prayer, do come forward. We welcome that. Friends, what a thrill to have you here. We're going to continue to have people up here praying. Please don't rush off. If you have something to share and need someone to agree with you in prayer, please come. Man, it's amazing how the Lord just signs and wonders follow the preaching of the word. Well, what a great day. Please make sure you check out the connection card and sign up for one of those ministries, namely Nails in His Hands. And if you have a blue card, we look forward to meeting you and giving your gift there at the Welcome Center. Let me pray off a blessing. It's been a thrill to have you here. What a joy. Don and Sandy are out at the double glass doors. They're looking forward to shaking your hand, and thank you for receiving them so warmly today. Father, we love you. And man, what a great situation we have. We are 2 weeks, two Sundays away from resurrection morning. And Lord, for those who have experienced new life in Christ, thank you for allowing your life to come right where they live, serve, and work. Lord, we want to thank you too for those who are our guests here. Lord, may they hear something clearly about your love and the purpose with which you do have a future and a hope for them. Don't let the enemy rip them off. Lord, bless each and every one as they go their way. Thank you for today. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, everyone. Thanks for coming. We'll see you next Sunday. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Hope Chapel Huntington Beach's Sunday Celebration Service. If you'd like to hear more of our messages, or if you're interested in finding out more about Hope Chapel Huntington Beach, then please visit our website at hopechapelhb.org.